I think property management is a constant balance between doing what's right for the owner and doing what's right for the tenant. And when those two things are in harmony, then I think that you ultimately end up with a better property and a better asset at the end of the day.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for Real Estate Industry Sales Professionals, Property Managers and Leaders. With thanks to our partner, Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking and strategies to elevate your results. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links, and shortcuts, visit EliteAgentElevate.com. And for more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier on your clients, visit connectnow.com.au. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of this week's show. Joining me today is Meena Radhakrishnan, the co-founder of property management tech company Different. In addition to heading up a company that's looking to shake up the property management sector, Meena has also enjoyed a career with major players like Google, online clothing company ModCloth, and Uber. Meena, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's amazing to have you. Your career reads like a bit of a who's who of some of the biggest and most interesting companies out there. You started as a business analyst with Goldman Sachs. You worked as a product manager at Google, and you were the 20th employee to join Uber. So how did you come to be in Australia running a tech company with a focus on property management?
Yeah, well, I have to blame that one on my husband, who's actually my co-founder as well, and also co-CEO of Different with me. I've been very fortunate to work at some amazing companies and certainly start there very early and kind of grow them from very early days. But the one thing I'd never done was actually run my own company. And I was bitten a little bit by the entrepreneur bug and really wanted to figure out what to do. And my husband was in a very similar place. And so we were founders looking for an idea. We took some time to think about what is it that we actually want to build? What are the things that matter to us? How do we do this? And we have a Google Doc with a very long list of very bad startup ideas. And ultimately what came at the end of it was Different. My husband is Australian. And really the genesis of it was my father-in-law, who, like a lot of ordinary Australians, is an investment property owner, has owned investment property for a long time, has had the same property manager for a very long time. And as we were going through his finances and he's retired and we just wanted to make sure everything was in a good place, we really dug into what's happening with his investment property because, again, like with a lot of Australians, it's a big part of his retirement portfolio. And so as we started to delve in on this a bit more and learn more about the world of property management, it felt like there were a number of areas that we could use our backgrounds and our knowledge to be able to create a really good experience and ultimately result in a better product at the end of the day for owners, for tenants, and even really for the world of property management, which is a tough one.
Yeah, property management is so complex, and some of our listeners will be familiar with Different, but just to bring everyone up to speed, what exactly is it that Different looks to do and how do you go about it?
Different is rebuilding property management. We're a full-service property management agency, and we want to remove a lot of the common pain points that owners and tenants face by giving them a really fairly priced services that are representative of the work that's being done to make sure that your home, your investment property, your asset is well taken care of.
What sort of a fee structure do you offer?
So unlike most property management agencies, we do not charge a percentage fee. We charge a flat $100 a month for property management and a one-time leasing fee of $1,000 to be able to find a tenant. And that includes your photos, signboards, advertising, anything else that needs to be done. So there's no kind of additional fees. And I think for us, that was a really critical part of it. You look at any property management company, even if they have a website, which many of them don't, most people don't ever advertise their fees. So you're left wondering, well, how much am I going to pay? How much is this going to take out of my rental income? What is my return on investment? How does that work? And we just want it to be really fair and easy to understand so that you can make the right decision. Because we believe that at the end of the day, it's not about price, it's about value. And I think that for us is a really critical thing. It's like, we're not $99 a month. We're not here to be a discount service. We charge $100 a month. We think that's a fair price for the work that we do. And we want to make sure that it is representative of what you actually receive.
Yeah, so some people might be sitting there thinking, wow, that's not a lot. That's hard to compete with. And some people might be thinking, well, yeah, that is a fair fee. And I'm guessing with your technology background that you've got an interesting people to tech ratio in Different that supports your cost model. So can you tell us a little bit about the technology behind Different and how that works?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, technology is a really core part of what we do at Different. And part of the reason why the property management industry just felt like such an interesting opportunity for us is because we feel like there's a real opportunity here to be able to bring tech into it, to be able to create a better process. Property management is not just like throw some software at it and it'll suddenly get better. It'll be easier for everybody. I fundamentally don't believe that. I think that the two things, that people and technology, really work well together. And I do think that there's a large part of property management, which is just like, okay, make sure the rent gets paid on time, send a follow-up message, send another follow-up message, click here, pay the button. That's like 80, 90% of tenants. Then there's the 10% of the like, okay, there's a domestic violence issue, there's a COVID issue, there's something else that's going on that creates kind of difficulties around it. Same thing with maintenance, same thing with lease renewals. There's so many of these things where it's just like 80, 90% of it is just like, yep, business as usual. Make sure you do it. Make sure it gets done on a certain day. Follow it up, confirm it, send something to confirm that it was done and make sure that that confirmation is available at any time you need to access it. And then there's the remaining 10-20% that is hard. It's not the leaky tap. It's the, oh my God, a tree fell on the roof. What do I do? And that's the way that we really think about it, is that we have great property managers. We have incredibly experienced property managers with a wealth of years behind them and a wealth of knowledge behind them. We want them to focus on that 10-20% of stuff that's hard, that's complex, that technology just doesn't know what to do. And we want our technology to focus on the 80% of it where it's like, yep, it's simple, it's easy, we know what needs to be done, we know how to follow it up, we need to make sure that it's there. And I think it plays to both strengths, because technology is never going to forget, it's never going to procrastinate, it's going to do it at exactly the right time, it's going to keep on doing it and doing exactly what you tell it to with a level of consistency. Those are not, I think, for most people, their greatest strengths, right? Like, we procrastinate, we worry, we tend to forget. Like, the stuff that we're really good at that I just don't think technology is in any place to handle today and won't be for some time is compassion, empathy, negotiation. Like, these are the skills, and this is what we want our people and our team, our really experienced property managers, to go and focus on.
This is a really good example of the 80-20 rule. So what you're saying is that if the 80-20 rule is cause and effect, that 20% of general property management business is what's going to cause the most amount of headache, and then the 80% should be managed as such, really.
Yeah, like, make it simple, make it easy, even if it's the 80%. One thing that's important, I think, is that, for example, if you're a tenant and you have rent payments, how do you know how much rent you've paid? How do you know what you've paid up until? Maybe if you're lucky, you'll get a rent receipt from your property manager, but more likely you'll have to go into your bank account and just be like, oh, where were those rent payments? What day did I make them? How did I do it? Just a really simple thing, right, that our app provides for tenants is that you can look into your app at any point and you can actually just see what was the history of your payments. It's not a big thing, but it just goes to show that you can use technology to do that. Because of all our payments are processed through our tech, we can easily show a history of past payments and make it visible and accessible for you at any time. And I think it's those kinds of things where it's just like technology isn't just replacing, it's actually adding value.
And so you don't think that there'll ever be a point where people aren't required in property management, like it won't just be a complete tech takeover?
I don't think there's anything where technology will take over from people completely, at least certainly not anytime in the near future.
Yeah. So I know after 2020 being such a crazy year in some ways, we're all afraid to look to the future. But because you've worked for some of these amazing tech companies and things like that, I'm going to ask you the question, where is the future of property management in your eyes?
I think there's a couple of components to it. I think that people generally are getting much more comfortable with doing things on their apps. I think actually a really good metaphor for this is the first time it happened even had nothing to do with like phone technology or digital. It was about ATMs. Remember when a world existed before ATMs and you had to go to the teller just to retrieve $20 or receive $200? Well, now you just go to an ATM because it's easier, it's simpler, it's faster, they're everywhere, and that's what you want to do. And I think that those kinds of things, like, that's the next natural evolution of it from property management. Do you really want to call your property manager or send an email to get an updated copy of the lease agreement? I don't think so. I certainly don't want to. I just want to be able to go in my app and look at it. And so I think that one key thing is people are just going to feel comfortable with the idea that you don't always need to call. You don't always need to email. In fact, you probably shouldn't ever have to. If you have to do that, that's a bad thing. You should be able to get access to stuff that you need when you need it really quickly. And so I think an increased reliance for things that we do, for example, like our apps for tenants and for owners, are just like quick information at a glance. You don't need to call. You don't need to talk to your property manager. You don't want to interact with them in any way. You just want to use the app to be able to get what you need. And so in some ways, the app is actually your first agent more than anything else. So I think that that's a really critical part of it. You know, it's interesting in these COVID worlds as well. Like, I do think that routine routine inspections are going to be something where on the face of it, it changes quite dramatically. Do tenants conduct more routines? How do we do more detailed sort of entry and exit condition reports to be able to handle that so that we're not necessarily trying to like intrude on a tenant's privacy and push somebody in 6 months to like randomly do a routine? Do we ask tenants to do kind of more in-house? How do we balance that? Because it's about both sides of it. I think property management is a constant balance between doing what's right for the owner and doing what's right for the tenant. And when those two things are in harmony, then I think that you ultimately end up with a better property and a better asset at the end of the day. The last place that I think that things are really gonna come into is just that, like, and this is something that we've always done in our office, and I think it's actually a really good thing, is very much like a hybrid kind of remote and work from office model, where we ask our team to come in several days a week and the rest of it is work from wherever is most convenient and easy for you. And we've done that for a long time. We just sort of like actually just said, hey, now we're actually going to formally adopt this policy. So people are in 2 days a week and the other 3 days, they work in a way that's most convenient and useful for them.
And so let's take a step back here, because different's been referred to as a bit of an industry disruptor. And of course, we've just talked about, you have a background with one of the world's most famous disruptors, Uber. We hear the Uber of real estate and the Uber of everything these days. And you were employee number 20. Out of curiosity, I've got to ask you, what was it like working with Uber?
Oh, I mean, it's such an incredible experience to be in a company that's experienced that level of growth. I think that is just, it's a rare sort of thing. You know, even at Google, for example, where I started Google 13 years ago now, over 13 years ago. And at that time, Google was still something like 20,000 people, right? Like it was still a big company at that time. So then to join Uber and be at like companies literally a thousandth of the size and be in a place where I watched it grow. So when I left Uber, it was probably about 4,000 or 5,000 employees maybe globally. So still an incredible period of growth. I think that's one of the best parts about being in a company, is like starting from the ground up and just getting to be a part of all of those things that really kind of like define the future of how it's going to work and where it's going to go. And I learned so much as well from being there. I think has been invaluable in starting my own company, both what to do and also to sometimes what not to do, because I think we all learn from mistakes.
Collectively, we've learned in business a lot of lessons from Uber. You know, from the choice of Uber that you want to, let's say, call on your phone, to it's really changed the way that we expect things to arrive. So, for example, when Uber says that the car is 5 minutes away, we think that that's possibly a long time now. And especially if we've got to stand on the side of the road and hail a taxi and we don't know when the thing's coming, it's really changed our behavior there. As an employee, it must have taught you some great lessons. So what were some of the biggest things that you learned about Uber, and how has that shaped your thinking in different?
Yeah, I think that certainly what you just called out in terms of like our expectations of responses and time, it's just huge. And so like for us, for example, our operations team, which is what we call like property management is operations for us, because it's a really complex logistical piece of work. And so that department's called operations, has a ton of data and analytics that they use to actually be able to measure the quality of the work that they do. So for example, they track on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. I mean, more than just kind of like real-time KPIs, where it's just like, hey, what's our level of responsiveness, like down to, you know, decimal points of like hours and months, and like what percentage of them do we respond to within X number of hours, and how do we get that tracked? Maintenance requests, for example, we know at every stage of maintenance request exactly how long it takes. Like we know 94% of our owners, for example, approve a request within 24 hours, or that's not the actual number. Unfortunately, I wish it was. But like when an owner approves a request, we assign it to somebody within usually 12 hours, 96% of our requests. It's that level of just data and analysis around how are you doing things that I think is such a critical part of the way that we function and how we think. And a lot of that for me comes certainly from all of the companies that I've worked at, but certainly at Uber, where it's like there's a book and a very common methodology. It's called What Gets Measured Gets Managed. And I think that that's a really key part of it. Like, and we're proud enough of our stats. We throw them up on our website. If you want to know what our maintenance stats are like, you can go look at it on our website anytime. So I think that that's a really key part, is using data to be able to track quality in a very quantitative way. We can objectively say, are we good at this? Are we not good at this? I think a second thing for me is just not doing things the way that they've always been done just because that was the way. That doesn't necessarily mean that the way things have been done is bad. I'm not saying that by any means. What I am saying though is that you need to ask the question. You can't just say like, oh, we're just going to do it this way because that's the way it's always been done. You have to ask the question of what is the outcome that you're trying to get to, right? Which is like, hey, this is what we want to have accomplished by the end of this. What are all the different ways in which we could accomplish that? And we allow our ourselves at the beginning of the way that we build things, whether it's operational processes or whether it's digital products, to have what we call exploration time. And it's all about kind of flexing. It's about like coming up with a lot of ideas, not worrying about the quality of those ideas, but really just trying to focus on quantity. Because I just think you can't get to a good idea until you generate a lot of bad ideas. And I think that that's the key, is not worrying about, oh, but is this one good or is this one good? It's just, no, come up with all the ideas that you can, explore, be flexible in your way of thinking and your approach, and then narrow it down and say, okay, these are the ones that make the most sense for us to pursue. And it might turn out at the end that the one you thought initially could be actually does end up just being the right one. That's okay. But it instills a level of just confidence and clarity in the approach that you're taking, because you know that you didn't just pick it because it was done in the past. You picked it because it was the best idea.
Yeah. It sounds like the Google Sheet that you referred to in the very beginning.
Exactly. There's a lot of bad fruit before you get the sweet one.
Yeah. If I was to just paraphrase that a little bit for our listeners, I think that's some great advice on innovating in your own organization, because if you focus on not the way that you've always done it, but if you could actually just think about, well, what is the outcome I want to achieve? And then perhaps work back from it, thinking about things the way that you've always done them might not ever be the best move. It's just comfortable.
And I think that it's a natural thing. As humans, we tend to go with what we know. And I think it's that getting out of that comfort zone is often what generates the best ideas.
We've just talked about this, about how the client expectation is shifting and how Uber has been a big part of that. And I think what you've described with different today is that it feels to me like it's a bit like on online banking. Like we expect to be able to, you know, log into ANZ or whoever we bank with and be able to see certain things. And with different, it's the same thing, but in relation to property management. So how do you think expectations might evolve in the future in the property management sense for investors? Like, where are you thinking this might all head?
Yeah, well, I think that certainly what's going to happen is that people are going to expect a lot more just instant on everything, right? Like, why hasn't it been done yet? Where is it? What's the status? What's the update? And I think the way in which we build things really reflects that. And I think that, and obviously I'm biased here, like I run a company in this business, but I think it's going to get harder and harder for small agencies to be able to handle that. Because there's only two things you can do. Like the property management software that exists out there, it's not built with your specific operational process in mind. It's built to just sort of do what all like tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of other agents also want to do. So you can't assume that you're building the best possible process around it. And I think that it's actually going to turn out that if you have a small rent roll, it's ultimately not going to be worth the effort to manage. And I think there's a lot of research around this that shows generally that rent rolls under 150 are typically unprofitable. And if you're starting out from scratch, hiring up staff, spinning up the PM business, like it can be a pretty costly endeavor. And so I think that there's a lot of opportunity for companies like Different to come in and be a part of this, where there's a reason, by the way, that our company's called Different. We do not want to do property sales. You can't spell different without rent. We have no intention of ever getting into sales. That is not make sense for what we're trying to do, to the point of what we talked about before, of basically playing to your strengths and really thinking about what it is you're particularly good at and what people are good at versus what technology is good at. I just don't think that technology is going to really fundamentally make a huge difference in disrupting the sales business, because I think that sales is very much a... in a way, it's like therapists. There's so much of the people stuff behind it. And where I think technology can be helpful in terms of doing things like making conveyancing easier and handling that sort of side of it, but the people facilitation, like technology can take that away. We just don't want to do sales. And that's why I think that it's actually for us, like we'd love to be able to partner with real estate agents and find a way for them to be able to focus on what they're great at, which is doing sales, while letting us handle the work around actually managing a property management business in the way that we think makes the most sense and ultimately gets to the right outcome for the owner and the tenant.
Yeah. Speaking of there's no different without rent, your logo is quite cute. How did you come up with the little emoji thing in front of the D?
You know, our original co-working space, and I think this is one of the great things about co-working, we're a very small company. We happened to be sitting next to a designer, and he worked, he was in like brand design and creative design for a number of great brands. He's like, so our original logo, which if you probably look back at like internet archives, you can find a very original logo, which my husband and I designed in PowerPoint. We're not designers. That is not what we do. And it involved a house, as you can imagine, with many real estate businesses. And he said, you know, you're fresh, you're modern, and you do things that like bring a smile to people's faces. Like, let's work on something that really shows that. And that's kind of really where it came out of. So he helped us put it together. And it's been a ton of fun. We're actually, we're just in the middle of doing some sort of new work on our brand. And you'll see a lot of these refreshes coming out soon.
Yeah, very, very, very clever. And so Different is now available in New South Wales, Victoria and Queensland. So what are your goals coming up for the next 12 months or so?
Yeah, it's going to be good, I think, hopefully, to get out of some of the COVID mindset, which obviously has affected everybody in 2020. We'd love to expand into new areas. That's a huge part for us. In addition to expanding into new areas, like, for example, in New South Wales, we operate in Sydney and the Central Coast. In Queensland, we're in Brisbane, the Gold Coast, and soon to be the Sunshine Coast as well, and in Melbourne and Melbourne surrounds as well. So we'll definitely expand to more kind of regional centers around the areas that we're already in. I'd love to get into Perth and Canberra. Those are definitely areas that we'll be looking at pretty seriously to figure out where that needs to be. And I think in addition, pursuing the right approach to partnerships with other agents and finding a way for them to be able to focus on sales while we take on property management. I think that's two things for us. In addition to that, of course, on the technology side, we've got some amazing products that we're really working. We're going to be releasing brand new owner apps and brand new tenant apps for everybody. Hopefully we'll have them ready by the end of the year, but we'll probably release them in early January so that everybody can come back from their holidays and come to something new and fresh. All those things that we release to owners and to tenants, it's not just about what you see on the outside. In order for those apps to be really powerful and successful and valuable to owners and tenants, it's about all of the work that we do internally that allows you to be able to open up your owner app and understand exactly what the status of a maintenance request is, or know whether or not your file has been collected, or what time the routine inspection has been scheduled. It's not somebody sitting there entering in the data. It's actually just the data automatically happening and being processed in the background through all these internal systems that we build that then allow that to be able to sort of funnel through into owner and tenant apps to give you transparency and visibility into what's actually going on with your property.
Yeah, interesting. So it's been great getting to know you this afternoon. It's certainly like interesting times for property management and services such as yourself. If there was one thing or one piece of advice that you'd like to leave the audience with, what would it be?
You know, one is 2020 has been a hard year for everybody for a number of different reasons. And I think a key thing is not holding on to the past. Part of working at a startup, working at any company really, is a certain level of resilience and optimism for the future. And I think that's a really key thing, is right? Is like the past does not define the future. We should use it as kind of reference and we should learn from it, but we shouldn't let every decision we make be defined by the past. I think that's a really key thing. The other really critical thing is just don't think about what you can do, just think about like how you can do it. Don't assume that something can't be done. I think that's the key, is right? Let's take this kind of in a similar way. Let's just take an optimistic approach to how we're building and say like, all right, well, what's the ideal future? What's the perfect kind of vision that we want to have? Great. So let's think about all the ways that we can take together. And maybe we can't get to 100% of it, but like by forcing ourselves to think well beyond it, then I think you get more out of it. And I think that that's a really key thing to do with any business and in really any area.
Yeah, I think that's actually a really great message, just to once again think about that outcome. And I guess there's that old expression too, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're probably right. Great advice. Meena Radhakrishnan, thank you so much.
Thanks again.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Elevate, with thanks to connectnow.com.au. Don't forget to download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links and shortcuts. Visit eliteagentelevate.com.